Pastor said, I'm going to come meet you all this morning. Good morning. We have multiple people doing spring break this week, and so let them know that they are missed for sure. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. We began the season on Wednesday night with our Ash Wednesday service, and I don't think this information is new to any one of you, but just in case, we spend the next 40 days, 40 nights, reflecting, thinking, meditating on the life of our Lord who took himself to the desert in order to be more in touch with God. And he did that in preparation for his ministry. And so even though we can commune with God anytime, we are always invited during this season of Lent to maybe spend just a little bit of extra time. And who knows? Maybe the ministry that God has for us is different than we thought it was going to be. And as we listen, as we pray, as we reflect, we can, along with our Lord, get that sense of what God has in store for us. There are multiple announcements in the bulletin. I'm not going to read them all. Do want to point out the fact that the senior seminars are on the 24th. These are free. Lunch is free. They are one-hour seminars, and I just really believe that we as a congregation and we as individuals in this congregation are at a place in our lives where these kinds of seminars really are beneficial. A lot of times those questions come across my desk, and I'm not sure how to answer them. But those who deal with aging issues, care issues, understand legal, financial, they understand those. And so I encourage you, if you have not signed up for one of those, to go ahead and do so. Our prayer concerns and joys this morning. We're going to start out with a couple of joys. And first of all, Jacob has asked that we say happy birthday to his mother. So, happy birthday. And it's good to have you here for your birthday today. And I tell you what, if you want to have your birthday announced in church, ask Jacob. Just go tell him when your birthday is, and we are good to go. We like that. The other joy this morning, Janice showed me a picture as we were getting ready to walk into worship. And for those of you who know her, know how she loves animals, and particularly horses. And so she showed me a picture this morning of a brand new baby colt, a little girl who was born, is healthy, and running around and kicking up. This is springtime. This is the time for new life. And so thank you, Janice, for reminding us of God's four-legged creatures and how wonderful they are. Our concerns that are on the list, if you will take a moment to look at those, I want to add one other one. Last week after service, Sean came to me, and he has a student, and I believe I'm pronouncing this correctly, Alicia. And Alicia's mother, Tabitha, probably some of the worst of evils that we have, was murdered by a family member. And so Sean has asked that we keep Alicia and her family in our prayers. It is good, Teresa, to have you here this morning worshiping with us. And for all who are here visiting with us, we pray that the Spirit will settle upon you and that you truly will feel that presence of God with us this morning. As we prepare our hearts, our minds, our bodies, to worship. Let us be still and know that God is God.
Jesus began his ministry to the world, led by the Spirit into the wilderness, a place of desolation, a dry desert. In those 40 days and in that place, Jesus was faced with hunger, doubt, and temptation. And yet, he left the wilderness, faithful and obedient to God, rejoicing in God's faithfulness, even in the desert. As we begin our Lenten journey, we may also be led by the Spirit into the uncomfortable places of life, asked to make uncomfortable decisions in faith. May we, as we begin this journey, remain on the path to faithfulness, following our Lord, rejoicing in the steadfast faithfulness of God.
Please be seated. As we do come into this season of Lent, it is good to be quiet. It is good to listen to the Lord. It is good for us to take that moment and to not only confess, but to listen, really listen, for that sense of God's assurance that falls upon us. And so I invite you to enter into a time of silent confession. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 11. In this passage, the Israelites are reminded that when they come into the land God is giving them and allowing them a place to call home, they are, out of thanksgiving, to take some of the first fruits of their harvest, the fruit that the Lord has also given them. Like the land, they are to put it in a basket and offer it to the priest. In doing so, they are to say to God, as the priest places the offering on the altar, the following: "A wandering Armenian was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house."
Thank you. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days. And when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time.
Okay, it is truth time. How many of you have ever done things that you should not have done? Yay, at least you're honest. Okay, you've double done them, right? Okay. All right, here's another truthful moment. How many of you have been known to say, "The devil made me do it"? Oh, a little less, yeah, okay. Well, sometimes that happens. It happened with Carl and Francis. Carl and Francis were struggling financially, so much so that even drawing on their financial savings was a burden for them. But Francine had her eye on this really extravagant dress. And there was a big event coming up, and you know what happened. She just went, she bought it, didn't ask Carl at all, and needless to say, he was not happy at all. And so, he came to her and he said, "How in the world can you justify such an extravagant purchase at this point in our lives?" Well, she apologized. And she whined a little bit, and she said, "What? The devil made me do it." Carl's like, nah, you're not getting away with that one. So he said, why in the world did you give into temptation? Why didn't you just say, get behind me, devil? And she said, I did. And he said, it looked as good from the back as it did from the front. We can make lighthearted jokes about the devil, about Satan, about even evil. But we know that there is a very serious side, and that evil exists in our world, and that it really isn't a laughing matter. We heard that this morning when violence seems to be the way to solve problems. Evil, and in particular this story with Jesus, where the devil is so cunning and so relentless and manipulative and devious, reminds us that there is still that evil that lurks out there just waiting for us. But we can make no mistake that the God who created us, the God who formed us, who fashioned us, and who continues all of the time to shape us, knows our hearts better than we know our own hearts. But, the devil is a master at looking at that disconnect between our hearts and how we live that heart out. The rest of the story. The devil knows where those things are that we know are right in our hearts, but our words and our actions just kind of want to go the other way. The devil seizes upon those. And as scripture, when Melody read that last line, the devil waits for another opportune time. Jesus knows the scripture of his childhood. And in particular, he knows this beautiful psalm of assurance that we heard. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Well, big deal. Even the devil can quote scripture. And he did. Jesus didn't take the bait. Jesus will not be fooled. There is no disconnect between what Jesus knows in his heart and what he believes and lives out about the unconditional, all-encompassing love of God. From Scripture itself, we know that Satan has this way of disguising evil with something that would otherwise look good to us. Take Adam and Eve and the apple, for instance. Luke begins narrating his book by going all the way back to the lineage of Jesus. And in doing so, what he does is he gets all the way back to Adam and to Eve. And it links these two temptations together. After all, Jesus is often referred in scripture as the second Adam. The difference, you and I know, is that Adam gave in to temptation, Jesus did not. That's the stuff about which we sing every year. By man came death, and yet through Jesus comes salvation and everlasting life. Where Satan wanted to put God to the test, Jesus says, no, not going there. His trust in God is so strong and it is so full that he doesn't need to put God to the test. He knows that God cares. It's that same kind of trust that you and I are called to embrace. Not to test God, but to trust God. Just as Satan can't force Jesus to turn away from a right relationship with God, guess what? Satan can't force us to do that either. That's all on us. It's called self-responsibility. And when we give in to temptation, that's when we give the devil, Satan, evil, that's when we give them power. During my supervised practice of ministry at Memorial Prez in Norman, I think I've shared this with some of you, we were doing a Lenten study, and we were using candles as part of our prayer service. And we had a gentleman who will remain nameless, who came into the church office the next day, was furious because we were being Catholic. We were using candles. Oh my goodness, we were Christians. And instead of using candles and being Catholic, why didn't we talk about the devil? You know, the devil did this and the devil did that. And I'm sitting here as a ministry student thinking, okay, Pastor Jim, how are you going to answer this? And it was beautiful. He looked at him and he said, you know, we could talk about the devil all of the time. The devil is real. Evil is real. But I'm not going to give the devil that much power. I'd rather talk about the grace of God, understanding and knowing that, yes, evil does exist in the world. I've tried to live by that. I don't talk about the devil a lot. Doesn't mean I don't believe. But I'd rather talk about the grace of God that overcomes that evil. The temptations of Jesus in today's reading come after he has been identified as God's own son. He could turn the stone into bread. That's what the devil mocks him and tells him to do. Of course Jesus could have done that. He took loaves and fish and he made a feast for 5,000. So why doesn't he go ahead and just say, well, okay, devil, let me show you how it's done. If Jesus had done that, in the devil's mind, it would have been saying, Jesus has to defend God. We have to prove something. Yes, God can do miraculous, mysterious things. Jesus chose instead to reveal God's power on God's time, not on the devil's time. Just because you want me to turn this bread, this stone into bread, I'm not going to do it. But you know what? There are people who are hungry over here, and God says, I will provide. He doesn't bow down to Satan's trickery. And what that does is reinforces Jesus' ministry. It reinforces the fact that he is called to come and to take the grips of Satan and evil off of us so that we can serve God fully. Satan's strategy is to prey upon our weaknesses. We all know that. And sometimes when there are those things that are hurtful or painful or worrisome, the devil has this way of trying to wedge into the middle of doing that. And in doing that, tries to take the focus off of God, putting it on poor little us. He definitely is a pesky little devil. But there's no doubt that the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, all talk about caring for one another. We heard that in our silent confession this morning. But that care, Jesus said, is never, ever to come at the expense of putting God second. Because in order to be able to face those temptations and to overcome them, we have to have the strength of God's Spirit in us. That is how we do it. We don't do it on our own. Jesus had both the power and he had the right to satisfy his own needs. He's the Son of God. Yet it wasn't consistent with what God was asking of him. And I think sometimes as humans we have that urge, that need to try to make ourselves self-reliant. We want to be in control of our own destiny. And sometimes we find it really hard to leave things up to God. Even the devil can quote scripture. But it is in knowing, it is in obeying, it is living out, it is in relying on God that scripture comes to life. It is then that we get the strength that we need to deal with temptation. The temptation that Jesus faced, and which we all face, is that the devil tries to confuse us, tries to make us focus on something other than God. But the story of temptation here, the story of Jesus' temptation himself, gets to the very heart of the good news. The devil was trying to keep Jesus from obeying the will of God. And had Jesus given in to that temptation, I wonder if he would have given in to the temptation to say, as he hung on the cross and the soldiers said, "If you are the Son of God, save yourself." Jesus got his strength from God to say, "Forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." If Jesus had given in to that temptation, would we be sitting here today, redeemed and forgiven and promised eternal life? The devil knew exactly what he was doing. And thanks be to God, so did Jesus. After he entered those 40 days of focusing on prayer and meditating and on scripture, we realize that we too have that at our disposal. We don't have to wait for Lent to do that, obviously. But this season is that wonderful time when we can refocus ourselves, when we can put ourselves in our own desert places and spend that extra intentional time with God, communing, bringing us closer to God. And in our closeness, that is where the temptations of life have less and less and less hold on us. Satan's always trying to bring out the worst in us. Jesus is always trying to bring out the best in us. We don't have to prove that God loves us. We know that God loves us unconditionally, and to believe otherwise puts us right in the hands of Satan. Even the devil can quote scripture, but you and I know that it is in knowing that scripture, it is in obeying the scripture, it is in living it out, it is relying on that scripture that makes it come to life. The way I grew up, I can sit and quote scripture all day long. But do I know what that means? Do I know what God is asking me to do when I quote scripture? I pray that as we go through this Lenten season together, that we will be reminded that yes, there is evil. Yes, Satan is always trying to tempt us. But even greater than that, God's power and God's unconditional love, if we will but turn to it, will keep those temptations at bay. And we have an opportunity, just as Jesus did, to grow closer to God until that next opportune time comes and we grow closer and closer and closer. I pray that we will not only know Scripture, but that we will live it out. Amen. One of the wonderful things about knowing Scripture, about knowing what is at the heart of the words that are in Scripture, is that we find that comfort in knowing God's love for us. It is affirmed over and over again. So just as God affirms that love for us, I invite us to stand and to affirm our belief that we believe in these words of God's caring for us. Will you join me in these wonderful words from the prophet Isaiah? This have come to know. This is what we have heard. The eternal is an everlasting God, creator of heaven and earth. In our prayers this morning, we hear again wonderful words of Scripture. This yet another Scripture that reminds us that the Lord is our strength and our refuge. So this morning, listen to these beautiful words from Psalm 91. Let us pray together. Lord, you are our fortress. You are our place of safety. You are our God, and we trust you. We seek to live in your presence and to stay in the shadow of you, the Almighty. We are grateful that you spread your wings over us like a mothering hen, that you protect us like her babies. Lord, we have nothing to fear living in your faithfulness. And even though circumstances of life become tough, illness strikes us, death comes our way, life just sometimes throws curves, God. But whatever comes our way, you tell us that we have nothing to fear because you are our God. You are our refuge. You are our sanctuary. And though temptations come to lure us from small ones into even bigger ones, and though evil looks like it is winning the day, it is ultimately our choice, God. We can trust in you, and that trust will move us away from what is evil to that which is good. And no matter what happens in life, we can hold on to you because we know that you are with us. You're caring for us. You're loving us. You have delivered and you continue to deliver us. We can call on you anytime, anywhere. And we can believe and trust that you are going to answer us. And Lord, this morning we have those who have concerns, who need to believe and to trust that you hear. And in your way and in your will, you answer those. Lord, we ask your continued healing and presence with Evelyn and Glenda and Alice and Doris. Lord, we are grateful for the gift of new life, whether that be the life of a child, whether that be the life of one of your wonderful creatures. We are grateful for the continuation of life year after year as we celebrate our birthdays. And God, we are pained when violence becomes an answer. And so we ask that you will be with Alicia and with her family. And with Bobby this week, Lord, as she goes through her days, may she know that you are her strength and her refuge. Because you alone, Lord, are our place of safety, our refuge, our Lord. And it is in you that we place our trust, just as our Lord did. And so, following his example, we give you thanksgiving for the provisions of your care. And hear us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
We are a community of faith who wants to walk with Jesus. No matter what we are carrying or what we face, we are not alone. At this moment, we are invited to share what we have so that others will find the same welcome and same joy we know. We gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise.
Thank you.
us pray. Giving God, guide our gifts so that they may be multiplied to help those still walking in the wilderness of uncertainty. Help our giving to inspire others as they journey toward the promise of eternal life. Through your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Out from this place today, that we've learned one thing. We can still say, the devil made me do it, but we have to say, but I let him. So, I pray this morning that the Spirit has settled up on you in such a way that you feel the peace and the comfort, that you feel the joy that is ours to have. And listen to these wonderful words from Romans. The word of faith that we proclaim is near to us. It is on our lips, it's in our hearts. And if we confess it, if we do something with the words and the scripture, if we confess it with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and that we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we will be set right with God. We will be saved. I pray this morning for anyone that we know who doesn't know the reassuring love and salvation and grace of the Lord, that you and I can be that living word that they need. The Lord is with us, behind us, encouraging us, beside us, befriending us, above us, watching over us. The Lord is within us, giving us the gifts of faith and hope and love. The Lord is beneath us, holding us when we feel like we can't hold ourselves. And always, always, even out into the wilderness, going before us, showing us the way. Amen.